Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Yitzchak Basser. Maseches Nedarim has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yehuda Koenig in loving memory of Malka and Aaron Zvi Krausman.
The Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Yud, discusses the Mishnah on Daf Tes. And the Mishnah over there drew a distinction between the Lashon of Neder and the Lashon of Nedava. The Mishnah says that the Lashon of Neder is a Lashon that's used exclusively by Rishayim, people that are acting improperly, whereas Lashon of Nedava, that's Lashon that Ksheirim also use. Well, that's the Lashon that they use if they want to obligate themselves to do something. So the Gemara on Daf Tes wanted to know, Mani Masnisin, which Tana is our Mishnah? Which Tana is it that distinguishes between the Neder and the Nedava? The Gemara brought down a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, the ideal, the Lashon is Toiv Mizeh Mizeh, the ideal hanhaga for a person is that he does not make neder at all, and that's Rabbi Meir's shita. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda's shita is, the ideal thing is that a person is neder or mashalim. He makes a neder and he fills that neder. That is the machlokes. And the Gemara wanted to know which one of these Tanayim is the Mishnah going like. So the Gemara on Daf Tes initially explains that in the first answer that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Meir. In other words, Rabbi Meir that holds that it's better not to make a neder, that's only by a neder. But by a nedava, if a person says Harei Zu, where he doesn't take a chrayis on his neder, he just makes the animal kahektish, that Rabbi Meir agrees is the ideal hanhaga. But the Gemara makes an akimta. We're talking where the animal is actually standing by the Pesach Hazara. It's already by the entrance of the Hazara, and therefore there's very little chashash that anything will go wrong, any tekala will come out of this neder, and therefore Rabbi Meir agrees in such a case that it's better to make a nedava, and therefore that's what the Mishnah says, that ksheirim do use a lashon of nedava. Whereas the neder is something Ksheirim don't do. So it comes out according to this teretz of the Gemara. Our Mishnah is only Rabbi Meir, but not Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that he holds the ideal thing is to make a neder. So therefore, if a person were to say, Kenidre Ksheirim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be good, because a kosher does make a neder. That is the first approach of the Gemara had on Daf Tes. On the Gemara and Daf Yud says that Ibayis Eima, that really the Mishnah could be going even according to Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara wants to change what we hold in Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that a neder itself is not a good thing. There's a chashash takala. There's a possibility that the person will stumble on his neder. And what Rabbi Yehuda means when he says that the ideal thing is to make a neder, actually what he means is to make an adava. And where he says Rezu, and again the Gemara says it's talking where the animal's at the Pesach Hazara, it's at the entrance of the Zara, and on that the person's Makdish it right there, and such a thing, that's the case that Rabbi Yehuda would hold that's the ideal hanhaga. And Mela, the Mishnah could be Rabbi Yehuda also, because according to this teretz, Ksheirim do not make a Lashon of Neder. Now the Rishonim over here ask a very basic question. The Gemara we're saying at this point holds that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that a neder is not a good thing to make. The only thing a person should make is a nedava, and even that a person should make only when the animal is at the Pesach Hazara, the entrance of the Hazara. So the question is, what does Rabbi Meir hold? If that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds, what does Rabbi Meir hold? So there are basically two approaches to this question in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say the Rabbi Meir holds that Einoch Nami, it's better not to bring karbanis at all. Tosis, in the beginning of Chulin, Maseches Chulin, speaks out that according to Rabbi Meir, even if the animals at the Pesach Hazara, it's mamash right by the entrance of the Hazara, still there is some sort of chashash of tekala, still something could go wrong even at that late moment. That is, Tosis says, Ritva also goes al derech zeh, that Rabbi Meir that Rabbi Meir holds it's better not to bring a carbon, and he says that even if the animals at the Pesach Hazara, at the entrance of the Hazara, there's still some sort of the chashash that it's true that nothing will go wrong in this particular case of being makdish, in this scenario of being makdish, nothing can go wrong, but we're afraid that if a person gets used to making nadarim and saying and sanctifying things with his dibur, then he'll come to make other nadarim, and therefore Rav Meir holds that the ideal hanaga is that a person should not bring karbonis of nadava. That is one approach in the Rishayim. Now I want to point out that according to this approach, when the Gemara says that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda also, doesn't mean Rabbi Yehuda also, it means that it could only be Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Meir, Ksheirim do not make an Adava either. So when our Mishnah says that if a person says that the Lashon of Nadava Nidvas Ksheirim works, that would not be true according to Rabbi Meir. So that is one approach in the Rishayim. There is another approach. The Tosis in our sugya says that the case that Tosis says that this, the Gemara says that we need according to Rabbi Yehuda that the animal standing at the entrance of the Azara, that's only an Eitzah Toiva. But Medina, all Nadava is Mutter. Anytime a person uses the Lashon of Nadava, it's Mutter. So it comes out that there is a Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, the only heter to make a Nadava is if there's Takin. In this case, there would not be a Michshol. In other words, for example, if the animal is standing in the Pesach Hazara and there's no Chashash Michshol, that is where a Nadav is okay. Because primarily, besidai, a Nadav is not okay to make because there's also there is some sort of Makam Michshol by Nadav. So Me'ikra, then a person can't make a Nadav unless he has a Heter because it's standing next to the Hazara. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, primarily a Nadav is okay. The only time we say that Toiv Mizeh Mizeh Einay Nader, or like the Gemara says, is that if he makes a nadava. So since a nadava is something that's okay, so beside it, it's mutter. There's the Gemara saying in Eitz Taiva that according to Yehuda, that if a person wants to avoid all mechshalim, the best way to do it is by having the animal standing at the entrance of the Azara. So I just wanted to point out that according to Tosis, the Lashon of the Gemara, La'ilam Rabbi Yehuda, that our Mishnah could also be Rabbi Yehuda, it means that it could be that our Mishnah could be both according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara continues that the Gemara says that Tainach by Nadava, by a Karban, so we can make a case that the animal standing by the Pesach Hazara, and that's why there's no Chashash that the person will come to Kala. However, the Mishnah also in Daf Tes also spoke out that one of the cases that the Lashon Nadava works is by a Nazir. So the Gemara asks, how could it be by a Nazir that there won't be a Chashash Takala? So the Gemara says, that answers this question by saying that Rabbi Yehuda L'taymei, Rabbi Yehuda is Kishitasai that he holds, that he says that Chassidim Rishonim Hayu Mis'avim L'Havi Karban Chatos, that the early Chassidim would have a desire, a yearning to bring a Karban Chatos, since the Rabban Shalom doesn't bring a takala on their hands, so they couldn't bring the chatos in reality because they would never do it in Vera. What did they do? They would get up They would go ahead and make themselves into Nazir in order to have the opportunity to bring a Karban Chatos. That's the Gemara. And Pashas, what the Gemara means is that since they have such pure intentions, just like we saw on Daf Tes with Shimon HaTzadik, that someone who does something with pure intentions, that's called a Nadava, and there's no Chashash that they will come to be Nechshol. So that's the Gemara. Now, this is quite a fascinating concept, this idea that the Chassidim Rishonim would have a yearning to bring a Chatos. The way we're used to thinking of a Chatos, if a person does an Aveira, then to somehow rectify that Aveira, they have to bring a Chatos, and that's somehow Mechaper on them. But if a person never did an Aveira, and is quite far removed from doing an Aveira, why should he want to bring a Chatos? What is it that the Chassidim Rishonim saw in a Chatos, that they should have this yearning to bring a Chatos? Now the Chachamim have a few approaches to this. The Shoil Meshiv in Madura Riva, Simen Nun Aleph, explains what the Gemara means is that the Hasidim were afraid that the reason why they're not winding up to doing Averis is not because they're so nizer in Averis. In other words, the amount that a person has to be nizer constantly not to do an Averis, even b'shegeg, is a zahiris they felt was above their capacity, above what they were doing. The reason why they weren't being nichshol, they were afraid, is because there's a pasuk, Ragli Chasid of Yishmar, the Rebbein Shalom makes sure that someone who goes al derech emes, that goes with the Rebbein Shalom, will not be nichshol in a chet. So therefore, they felt that their zahiris from various which lead to chatas is not intrinsic and inherent in their own tzuras adam. So they felt they really should be bringing a chatas to mechaper on their human deficiency. That is the approach of the Shalom Eishev. Now there are other approaches in the Achronim, and the Mitzvah Shem will get into that. But first, I wanted to discuss a shaila that the Mefarshim over here are dan in our Gemara, and we'll see. Based on this, we'll see that there's room to say other truths over here. There's a very basic question over here. There's a Gemara we find numerous times in Shas that there were Amorayim that were nichshol in a variety of chatayim. One of the earliest Tanayim, it says that he accidentally killed an Eid Zaymeim, that really there's a drasha that this Eid Zaymeim was shipata from Misa, and he wound up killing him. He made a mistake in the drasha. Another one of Chazal, it says that he ate before Havdalah by accident. And we don't find by them this concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mevi tekala to tzaddik. So really this question is addressed by Taisus, and the way the Gemara Taisus is addressing is, it's a Gemara in Chulin and other places, that the Gemara says, Hashta behemton shel tzadikim ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi tekala al yadam. In other words, the Gemara brings down a story that talking about there that the animal, the behemoth of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, and they wanted to feed it some maestris, something that really shouldn't be feeding it, and it came out, wouldn't eat. So the Gemara says that there's a concept that the Rebbein Shalom will not cause a tzaddik to be nichshol in eating something improper. The Gemara is talking even by the animal of a tzaddik. The Gemara says, Kol shekein, the tzaddik himself, the Rebbein Shalom will save from eating improper food. So Taisis, in numerous places in Shas and Chulin and Gittin and other places, Taisis asks, this is a stira. On the one hand, we find that Hashem protects tzaddikim, and then on the other hand, we find all these Heilige Tanoim that they were nichshol. So Taisis says an important insight. Taisis says that this that the Gemara says that Hashem saves tzaddikim from being nichshol, that is only applies to food, to eating isurdika food. But to do other various, it's not the same gnai as eating treifa food. They don't have the special shmira from their Rebbein Shalom. And Taisis goes on to say that even an aver which has to do with eating, if the reason why it's asr to eat is because of a zaitike isser, for example, if there's an isser to eat before Avdallah, that also they don't merit the special protection. The protection is only where the food itself is actually asr. That is a site that Taisa says numerous times in Shas. Now, the Farshim asked from our Gemara. Our Gemara says, very openly, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not bring a tekala to tzaddikim, and Pashas the Gemara is saying, and therefore these Chassidim Rishonim had no way to bring a chatas. So if it's this protection is only limited to eating food of Isser, so why couldn't the Chassidim Rishonim also be nichshol in other averis, and they'll bring chatas for the other averis? The only thing they won't be nichshol in is an aver that has to do with eating, for example, chalev and dam. But why is it that here the Brice is saying that Chassidim Rishonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would not bring a Tekala Yodim, and that would prevent them from bringing a Chatas? That is a question the Mefarshim ask. And there are a number of answers to this question. The Shail Meshiv answers that there's a difference. He wants to make a difference between the Tzaddikim Rishonim and the Chassidim Rishonim. He says the Chassid is above the Madrega of a Tzaddik, and therefore, by tzaddikim, we don't find that they have this special shmira that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't bring a tekala al yideyem. Only when it comes to eating, That's when we find the special protection. But from other various, we don't find this. But from other various, we don't find such a shmira by tzaddikim. Only by chassidim, which are in higher madrega, that's where we find it. That's the teretz of Shalom Eishev. But l'chayra, it's a bit hard to understand this teretz. And we're talking about the greatest of the Tanayim and the earlier Dairis. We're talking about the story of the person that killed an Eid Zaymim, is one of the people that was alive in the Beis Hamikdash, one of the earliest Av Bezins in Klal Yisrael, and really the Gemara that says that Hashta in Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Al Tzadikim Behemtan Shel Tzadikim in Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yadam is talking about a person no less than Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair. And Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair is someone that the Shalmi says that he was zeichet to make Kriyas Yamsuf. We're talking about people who are on the highest madregas in Klal Yisrael, the highest imaginable madregas, and on that's where the Gemara says that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yadam, which Tosfos explains to mean only with regard to food. So if Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair is not in the madrega, it's hard to imagine that there should be people higher in the madrega. And really, it says that in Tzarim that anyone who's mentioned in Shas will reach the madrega that Mesillas Yesharim refers to as Tchias HaMeisim. There's a lashon that Antoninus told Rebbe, Zuter Min Chayin is Mechayim Meisim. So, which means the smallest of the Tanayim and Meroyim were on this madrega of Tchias HaMeisim, which is far above the madrega of Chasidus in the level of Mesillas Yesharim. So, l'chayin, it's very hard to understand that these are Meroyim and Tanayim are not in the highest madrega that's being referred to in our Gemara. So there is another approach. The Dover Tzedek in Mesachus Brachus brings out that most chatayis come through usurei achila. Because that in a person's house they used to have fats there and things like that, chaylev and dam, and therefore the most common cause of achatos was through achila. And since we're saying from Tosis that tzaddikim merit this extra protection not to be over on isurim that have to do with achila, so therefore, practically speaking, these tzaddikim, these chassidim yishonim would not come to be nichshol on something that would be mechayiv achatos. That is the approach of the Dover Tzedek. Now, the Dibris Moshe over here is he also addresses this kasha on Tosis, that Tosis, how could Tosis say that the shmir of tzaddikim only extends to food, when our Gemara says that the Chassidim Rishonim cannot bring a chatas. And Ramesh Feinstein bavarns that you can't say like the Dover Tzedek that most chatayis come from food, because he says, of course, most chatayis are most likely to come from Yisrei Shabbos. You have so many malachas there that a person can easily forget. The Boyer, Teichin, Edelavin, he says it's impossible to say that it's more likely that a person will be over through Chayl or Adam than he'll be over through any of the Yisrei of Shabbos. So he does not like that teretz. So he has an entirely different approach. He points out that our Gemara, when it says Hashkash Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Al Yedeihem of these Chassidim Rishonim, that means a takala where a person will have to bring a chatas. So we're not talking about an oinis, we're talking about a chatas. So Rav Moshe says that's the difference between our Gemara and the case of Tosis. When Tosis says that Chassidim have a special protection that they won't be nichshol only in yonim of achila, only food, only not to eat something that's aser, that's talking they won't go ahead but oinis and do something, and be nichshol in such an aver by oinis. So oinis is not such a big aver, that Hashem only protects someone from machalos asurais, which is, like Taisa says, is extra gnai. But our Gemara is talking about doing an aver in a manner where the person is chayiv achatos. In other words, there's some shortcoming on his part. So such a thing, Chassidim Rishonim would never be holding by being nifshol in, and therefore they could not by nature bring a chatas. Now Rav Moshe speaks out a very sadistic thing. He says that even the what the Gemara means when it says here that the reason why Chassidim Rishonim would not bring a chatas because Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yadam does not mean that the Chassidim needed the Shmira from the Rabbanu Shalom to prevent them from doing an Averi B'Shaygig. This is quite the opposite of what we said from the Shalom Eishiv, but Rav Moshe says that certainly a Chassid, certainly a Tzaddik and a Chassid, he protects himself, he's certainly careful that he should never, ever come to do an Averi B'Shaygig. So what does the Gemara mean when it says, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yadayim? What it means is that since these tzaddikim, since these chassidim rishonim had this deep yearning to go bring a chatos, that itself should lead to their being nichshol. In other words, Hashem is ritzon yirei of yasa. If a person, if a tzaddik has a deep yearning to do something, Hashem will make sure that it materializes. So really, based on that, based on this ritzon yirei of yasa, it should come out that since they wanted, they had this yearning to bring a chatos, so therefore, that should lead them to go be nichshol in aveira. So therefore, they needed kineged that they needed special protection of Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takala Yadayim. And therefore, the eitzah they had to do was to bring make themselves into nazir. That is the approach of the Dibris Moshe, Moshe Feinstein. It's a very geshmaki approach. The only thing is, we still have to understand, based on this approach, is then really we have to understand why it is that they had this deep yearning to bring a chatas. Like we said before, a chatas we are used to thinking is something that just takes if a person doesn't wear it, they have to bring a chatas. But being that these people, like we're saying for Ramesha, their shmira samitzas ensured that they would never be nichshol in a very b'shaygeg, why is it that they would want to bring a chatas? So I saw Mahalach in the Birkas of Rav Aviri. He says in Bekitzah that a person that the Maila of a Chatas, that this that's Mechaper Neveira, it's not Stam that Kilo I owe an Chatas, so now I get a Kapara. But the Maila of a Chatas, the Chatas is a type of carbon that it was holding on a Madrega that it brought someone to that it was so Chashiv that it was even Mechaper on Chat. But really, that's a way of underscoring the chashivas of a carbon chatas. So I just wanted to elaborate a little bit about the concept of kapara. The Maral says that when the pasuk says about Yom Kippur, lifnei Hashem titaru, that Yom Kippur causes a person to become tar, in other words, it causes mechilas avinus, the way that happens is that a person comes lifnei Hashem, and Yom Kippur is a day that we come lifnei Hashem, and by Hashem, it says, lo yigurcha ra, there's no ra when a person is in front of Hashem, and therefore, the averus are paka, they just disappear. That is how Yom Kippur affects kapara. And really, that's the ra. Now really, we find the Mishnah in the end of Maseches Yuma says, Amri b'kiva, Shreichim Yisrael, lifnei mi'atam mitarim mi'atam mitar eschem, avichim shebashamayim. In other words, the way that they're talking about the broader concept of kapara, the way kapara comes through tshuva and Yom Kippur, the way it comes is by a person making himself close to the lifnei mi'atam mitarim, close to the Baruch Shalom, and by being close to the Baruch Shalom, that's how kapara comes about. So lefi this, we could understand with much more clarity this side we're saying from the Birkas Avram, that the way a chatas works, the way the chatas affects a kapara, is by bringing a person close to the Baruch Shalom, and mainly gets a kapara. And therefore we can get a much deeper understanding into why it is that says such a lashon over here in the Braisa, the chassidim rishonim, they were misava to bring a chatas. And they wanted this closeness to the Baruch Shalom that leads to the kapara of the chatas, but what they wanted was this closeness to the Baruch Shalom. Okay, so we're going to move on to the Mishnah and Daf Yud Amud Aleph. The Mishnah on our Amud discusses the original Mishnah, the Mishnah on Daf Beis. The Mishnah there said that kol kinui nedarim kinedarim. A kinui for a neder has a halacha of a neder itself. So the Mishnah explains different cases. The Mishnah discusses Koinem, Koinech, Koines, all these Lashonis, the Mishnah says, are a kinoi for a neder, and if a person uses that word to mean carbon, then it's a full-fledged neder. That is our Mishnah. Now the Gemara brings down the Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in understanding what it is, why it is that kinoi, these Lashonis that the Mishnah says, work as a Lashon. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the reason why it works as a Lashon, these things are a Lashon of a umais. In other words, neighboring countries around Eretz Israel, so the Goyim would speak, the Goyim that would live in those areas, when they wanted to refer to a carbon, they would use these words to refer to carbon, a kainim, a kainach, a kainis. That's Rabbi Yochanan's Shita. According to Reish Lakish, there's actually no such word as these things, but rather it's a lashon that Chazal instituted for people to enable Klal Yisrael to make nedarim. Now, why did Chazal need to institute a lashon that means carbon? So Reish Lakish explains that the Chazal, that if a person were to just use the word carbon Lashem, let's say they want to make something in carbon, they'd say carbon Lashem, there's a very high likelihood that they would come to say Lashem carbon. And the problem with saying Lashem carbon is it's possible a person will say Lashem and then either change his mind or he may not get a chance to finish his statement, and it'll come out that he says Chas v'shalom Shem Shemayim L'Hotala. So therefore, to prevent that and preempt this possibility, Chazal instituted different words that a person can use to make a carbon and to use the words that mean carbon. That's the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Now the Ran says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, it's Ram Paskins in this machlekes, and he says the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, which is not such a surprise because we have a klal that the halacha generally follows Rabbi Yochanan. However, what needs to really be understood is what is the nafkamina la halacha between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? To the extent that they're both saying pshat in the Mishnah, so then you can't say there's a halacha like one of them. What nafkamina does it make? What difference does it make who the halacha is like if there's just an academic disagreement about the reasoning of the Mishnah? So there must be, we see from the Ran, there must be some sort of nafkamina lahalacha between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. The question is, what is that nafkamina? Now, there is a Tosis on Daf Beis that brings down the opinion of Rabbeinu Yechiel, one of the Bali Tosis, that he says that according to Reish Lakish, that says that these words are words that Chazal instituted to enable people to make a nether without risking saying Chas v'shalom Shem Shavayim L'Vatala. So according to him, every nether made with one of these Lashonis only works Mida Rabbanan. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, it would work Min HaTorah. So according to this this opinion, we have a simple difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yochanan, if someone uses a Lashon of a Kinoi, then the nether is Chal Min HaTorah. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, if some person says kainim or something to use as a word for carbon when he's making his neder, the neder would only be chal midrabanan, and therefore he'd only be obligated midrabanan to fulfill what he says. And there's obviously many nafkaminas. Nafkamina whether he gets malchus if he violates his neder. Another nafkamina will be if, let's say, there's a suffix, let's say he has some sort of suffix that's noila, that if it's the raisa, he certainly has to go to chumra. Whereas if it's midrabanan, we know the klal of suffix drabanan lakula. So that would be a simple mahalach to explain how we could be machriya a nafkamina and say the halach is like Rabbi Yochanan over Reish Lakish. Now that would work in Taisis, but it would not work in the Ran, because the Ran on Daf Beis speaks out explicitly that even according to Reish Lakish, the neder that said Blashin Kinoi is only chal is chal even min haTorah, and he explains the reason is because every time a person says a lashon or says a language, what gives validity to these words in a language to mean the things that it's referring to? What gives validity is the Ran says is haskama su'uma, the fact that society and this part of society will defines this word to refer to that object. That gives validity and gives it a din lashon, and therefore, when a person uses this lashon, which people agreed means a certain thing, then that the surim or whatever it is that a person is making are chal according to that lashon. So the Ran says that when Chazal institute a lashon, when Chazal say this word, let's say kainim, means carbon, like gara haskamasa me haskamasa umais, the haskama, this that Chazal agree. That this word kainim should refer to carbon, that's not worse than any nation defining that these words refer to a carbon. So the Ran says that even according to Reish Lakish, the if a person uses a kinoi or the kinoi in the Mishnah, it's also chal min haTorah. So therefore, we have to understand back of the Ran when he's explaining in our Mishnah, when in our Gemara, when he says that he's Bechriya and says the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, we really have to understand what's the nafkamina halacha between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So to answer this question, I want to be marked in a Bir halacha. The Bir halacha is in Hilchas Kriyashma, it's Simon Samach Beis, Seif Aleph. And the Bir halacha is going on this, that the Shulchan Aruch over there in Hilchas Kriyashma explains that Kriyashma is Nemar B'chol Loshin. A person can be yotze the mitzvah of Kriyashma in any language that he chooses, and then he's yotze the mitzvah in the Torah of Kriyashma. So the Bir halacha says a very fundamental yisoid. He says that this, that any language works for Kriyashma, is only in a place where there are actually people that speak that language. But if there's nobody in this place that speaks that language, then a person cannot use such a language for Kriyashma. Now, the Bir halacha says that this rule only applies to other languages. But he says, in Lashon HaKodesh, a person can be yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyashma, and this also applies to Tefillah, anywhere. And he says the difference is, because what gives the words meaning in other languages is merely the fact that society translates and they understand these words to refer to what the words are referring to. That it's only the social acceptance of that makes these words have a din lashon. Whereas lashon hakodesh, the words that are described, the words that refer to things, are inherent in the actual meaning. So therefore, a word said in lashon hakodesh, regardless of whether it's spoken by the surrounding society, inherently refers to the concept being discussed. Whereas by other languages, it's not inherent in the words that they mean this thing. It's only by social recognition, and in a place where nobody speaks this language, there is no social recognition in this place. So therefore, a person cannot be yotze kriyashma or tefillah in a language that's not the locally spoken language. Now, the Chavetz Chaim proves this point from a Gemara in Maseches Kedushin. The Gemara says that someone's mekadosh and isha, a person does kedushin, and he says the word he uses when he's being kadosher, he says a lashon of charufasi. He says harei ad charufasi. So the Gemara says that in Yehuda that language works because everyone in Yehuda uses the word charufasi as a way of saying arusasi. But that's only in Yehuda. But in other places. Where the local society does not refer to an arusa as a harufa, if someone says hareyat harufasi, she's not mekudeshes. And the Chavetz Chaim points out that even if let's say the man, the husband, the wife, and the eidim, everyone understands that he means to be mekadesher, and they all use the word possibly harufasi. Let's say even if they all use the word harufasi to mean kedushin, but still the fact that the broader society in the location that this kedushin takes place, nobody refers to an arusa as a harufa. That means that determines that they do not have they do not use a lashon of kedushin, and therefore she would not be mekudeshes. So the Chavetz Chaim says we see from this that if someone uses a language that other than lashon hakodesh, that, and in a place that nobody speaks that language, then it does not work. Now, this really has a lot of bearing on halacha l'maisav. There are many people who, when they start out davening, they prefer daven in the language that's familiar to them. So let's say a person will have their English translated siddur. When they start davening, they still feel more comfortable addressing the Rabbanu Shalom in English. So that's how they'll start out davening. They'll daven in English. Now, what happens if this person takes a trip abroad and he packs up, of course, his trusted English sitter, and he wants to daven? He goes to, let's say, some hotel in Italy, and he'd like to start davening. Now, this, according to Bepshuta, according to the Chavetz Chaim, this would be a problem because in the local place of Italy, people don't tend to speak English. So therefore, it's good that he understands it and the Rabbi Shalom understands it, but did not say a language that inherently means the words that Chazal were masakin to say. So even though for him it may be full of meaning, these words, but since he didn't say it in a lashon that has a halacha of a lashon, So then he should come out that he's not Yaitse. However, a person could make a case that in English, especially, one is Yaitse. When you see the Bir Halacha, his Lashon, he describes what doesn't work. He says that if you have a place that only this person and a few other Yechidim understand the Lashon. So then he says that's not a good Lashon. But let's say there are a number of people that understand this Lashon. English is one of the most ubiquitous languages. And even a country that the primary language may be a different language, maybe Italian or something, a lot of people will understand English. And you could make a case that that's not what the Chofetz Chaim is referring to. Since many people do recognize English and they could speak English, then it's possible that in such a place, a person could be Yaitza, even with a translated, if he davens with a translated sitter. However, it's likely that, let's say, an Italian person would go to a non-developed country, let's say an Italian person would go to certain areas in India and take his translated sitter, then it's very likely that he'll be in a place that nobody speaks this language, and in such a case, if he davened with such using that his translated sitter, he would not be Yaitze, and he would have to daven over. So that would be a very big nafkamina in these words of this halacha of the Bir Halacha. But just getting back to our sugya, according to this yisayid of the Bir Halacha, we can have a very easy way to explain the Ran. Because we asked that the Ran says that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. So we asked, what nafkamina does it make between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? But according to Bir Halacha, it's very geschmack. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan, what makes these words have significance of the kinui nedarim is only the fact that the local people speak this language. In other words, it's a Lashon Umos, that there are people that speak this language. Now, that would only help if a person's at a time and place where people actually speak this language. Since it's Lashon Umos, since this is not really the right word, Kainim, for example, does not really mean carbon, so it would only mean carbon in a place where people actually refer to a carbon as a Kainim. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, on the other hand, since what makes a kainim mean carbon is the takana of Chazal, so the takana of Chazal spans all ages and all places. So therefore, it would be a neder d'raisa. Now this is very negeya, because it's likely, we could say, I think a very strong case can be made, that in our times, people do use the word kainim to refer to a carbon. But let's say the other l'shainis that the Mishnah says. What about, let's say, kainis? I don't think anybody today refers to carbon as a kainis. So therefore, it should come out that if a person will say, let's say, kainis kikar ze'olai, so according to Reish Lakish, he has a neder d'raisa on his hands, because he made a neder in a lashon that Chazal defined as being a lashon, and therefore he made a valid lashon of a neder. Whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan, what should come out from this is that since today nobody uses the word kainis when they're referring to carbon, so then he would certainly not have a neder d'raisa, at least certainly not d'raisa, on his hands, so this should be a very strong nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, l'alacha l'maisa. Now, really, the Bir Halacha himself is very mashma, like we're saying, l'alacha, because he brings a raya, he brings another makar to his halacha from the words of the Ritva in Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Ritva over there speaks out, when he brings the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan, that kinuyim are l'shoynes of Maisa Olam, the Ritva speaks out explicitly that this only works in a place where they use these kinuyim, but in a place where they don't use these kinuyim, then it would not work. So we see very clearly from the Tvala, Allah l'maisa, this yisayid, that kinuyim only work, the kinuyim of the Mishnah only work in a place where people actually use these kinuyim to refer to a carbon. Now, really, this Bir Halacha is really not pashat at all, this yisayid of the Bir Halacha. And there are a number of G'dayli Rosh Hashivas that are mefakrik on this Ritva. Rav Hudner, in the Sefer of the Torah Sanazir, has a really stark kasha on this Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha, as he mentioned, brought a raya from someone who's Mekadosh and Isha, and says, Hareyat Harufasi. And he brought a raya from the fact that it's Mavur and Mesachus Kedushin that Harufasi only works in Yehuda where people use the word Harufasi. But other areas where they don't use this word, then it would not work. So Rav Huttner asks that if you look at the Lashon of the Rambam, and actually this Rambam is in several places, but let's say, but he's going, he wrote a sefer called Tiras and Nazir, which is on Hilchas Naziris, the Rambam and Hilchas Naziris. So he's going on the Rambam and Hilchas Naziris, Perek Aleph, Halacha Ches. The Rambam says like this, Kol nizuye kinuye Naziris kin Naziris. So a kinuy for Naziris is like Naziris, Ketzad, Mekoymes ha'alogim, Shemeshanim, as a deeper, a place where people don't speak correctly, and they change, they alter the proper speech, the proper words. Va'omar Shom, and in that place a person says, Hareini Nozik Paziach Hareza Nozir. So the Rambam clearly says that a kinuy works is only in a place where people actually talk like that. However, the Rambam defines a kinuy as Mekaymas Halogim, only places where there are people that do not speak properly. So Rav Huttner wants to make a diuk that it's only as far as a kinoi is concerned that that only works in a place where people talk like that. But if you have a Lashon Gomer, he wants the medactic, if you have a Lashon Gomer, then who says that it would work? So he asks that perhaps, he asks on the Bir Halacha that perhaps the word harufasi is like a kinoi. In other words, it's not a full-fledged word for arusa. So who says that if a person used their full-fledged language in a that people in this place should speak it, maybe this thing is only by a kinoi. That is Rav Huttner's kasha on the Bir Halacha. And there's an interesting anecdote to this question. In the Sefer Zikaron Pachi Yitzchak, they bring a letter of Huttner's that he's writing to his friend, and he said that when he was about to publish his Sefer Taras HaNazir, he had to go to Radin. He was going to go from Vilna to Radin. So as he took leave of Reb Chaim Oizer, Reb Chaim Oizer encouraged him to ask this kasha to the Chofetz Chaim. And he said that he listened to Reb Chaim Oizer, and when he met the Chofetz Chaim, he asked the Chofetz Chaim this question on this Bir Halacha. And he said the Chofetz Chaim's reaction was that b'shas mir haben geschriben haben mir gut durchgetan. That when we wrote this Bir Halacha, we were very much involved in the sugya. And in other words, what the Chofetz Chaim meant is that I may not have an answer now. The Chofetz Chaim was then Baruch Hashem a very old person, but when he wrote it, he was very much in the sugya, and he says that that even though you may have a question on it, so that's the way I came out, and when I did it, I was very well involved. That's what the Chofetz Chaim answered. Now, it's interesting, I saw a local, one of the contemporary halacha svarim, when they bring down the story, they say that Reb Chaim Oizer was agreed to Rav Huttner. Now, if that would be true, then this Bir Halacha would be a machlek zechorin. According to the Chofetz Chaim, Lashon would only work in a place where people speak this language. Whereas according to Reb Chaim Oizer, it would work even in if nobody speaks this language. It would make an afkmina, let's say, drabanan, like we're discussing, someone wants to daven in a different language. So if it would be machlekes chonim, there would be room to say savik drabanan lahakal. However, the way that Rav Huttner himself quotes the story, he doesn't say that Reb Chaim Oizer agreed to him. All he said is that Reb Chaim Oizer encouraged him to ask this question to the Chofetz Chaim. So we do not really see a Mechleikis Achreinu over here. It's very likely Chaim Oizer just wanted to encourage the Rav Huttner to speak to the Chofetz Chaim in learning, to engage the Chofetz Chaim in learning. But it's not at all Mukhrach. We can't say that we have a Mechleikis Achreinu on our hands. Be that as it may, what comes out from Rav Huttner is the Rav Huttner is making an assumption in the Rambam. The Rav Huttner is assuming that when the Rambam says that a kinoi, which the Rambam refers to as this type of slang that only certain people use, that only works if people actually use that slang in this location, the Rav Huttner is assuming that that's only because he's using this slang word. But if you were to use a real word, a word that legitimately means this thing in this language, then using such a language would work universally, even not in this place where people discuss this language. That is a hanacha that the Rav Huttner is making in the Rambam. Now I want to point out that Rav Huttner is not alone. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky also learns like this in the Rambam, and he offers a proof. And his proof is that the Rambam, in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, where he discusses that Kriyas Shema can be recited in any Lashon, the Rambam says that, the Rambam does not say that it's only in a place where people speak this language. So Shmuel Rozovsky says that if this halacha, that Kriyas Shema can be recited in any language, would have this condition, that it only works in a place where this language is spoken, he says the Rambam surely should have said it, just like we see the Rambam says it over here by Kinuyim. And the fact the Rambam over here gives this, but when he's talking about this Lashon HaLakim, that Kinuyim only work, where the Rambam speaks out, they only work where this language is actually used, like in this manner, and whereas by Hilchos Kriyas Shema the Rambam doesn't say this tnai, he says it must be that the Rambam is learning not like the Chofetz Chaim. He's learning that in a regular legitimate language, it doesn't make a difference if people over here speak this language, as long as it's a legitimate language and not just a lashon halakim, not just slang. It would work in any place. That is the way Shmuel Rozovsky is medayik in the Rambam. Now, I just wanted to delve in a little bit into what the side of the machlekes between the Rambam and the Ritva is, the way Shmuel Rozovsky is explaining. That according to the Rambam, there's a difference between a kinoi and a real lashon, and that a real lashon works anywhere, even if it's not spoken, whereas according to Ritva, just like a kinoi that only works in the local in the place where it's spoken like this, so the same thing is with a real lashon, a legitimate lashon, that also only works that in the place where people actually speak like that. So Shmuel Rozovsky explains the Yisoid of the Machlekes. He says like this, that we have to really understand what is the Makar to our Mishnah that says that Kinuyi, Kol Kinuyi Nedarim Kinedarim. This that a Kinuyi works, what is the Makar to say that a Kinuyi works? Is it just a subset of the fact that a Neder can be said in any language? And just like it works in any language, and the reason why it works in any language is because people, there's a Haskama Uma that these words mean this idea, so too a kinoi, from the fact, the reason why it works, is because on a kinoi also, in this type of slang, there's also some sort of Haskama that these words mean this idea. That's one way we could say. Or it could be that there's a limud. Now, if we were to say there's a limud, then it's very likely that there would be a difference between a language and a kinoi. In other words, from the fact that we need a limud to tell us that a kinoi works, that would indicate that a kinoi without the drasha would not work. In other words, only a real language would have a din of a neder. But a kinoi, since just like we need a drasha to say that it works, so that means that there's not enough recognition to a kinoi to give it a din lashon. And therefore, there's room to say that even though a real language may work universally, even in a place where it's not used, a kinoi could have a different din, since we're only learning from a drasha, it works only in a place where people actually use this. That is the way Shmuel Rozovsky wants to say the yisoid of machlekes between the Ritva and the Rambam is. As far as what the makar for a kinoi is, so the Ran speaks out the Lahedya on Daf Gimel, that even though there's a girsa, some people had a girsa, that the Gemara brought a hekesh to say that a yad neder works like a neder, some people have a girsa also to include that a kinoi, that same hekesh tells us that a kinoi of a neder works as a neder. The Ran says we're not curious like that, and the reason is because the Ran holds that a kinoi, there's no special drasha that a kinoi works. It's just nichlal in the fact any language works, so kinoi also, since it's something that people use, that also works. And this is borne out by the Ran in the beginning of the Sechta, because the Ran asks that why does the Mishnah say kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim? What's the significance of a kinoi? The Ran asks why can't it just say the nedarim are nemarim b'chol lashon? Any language works for a neder. Why does the Mishnah specify that it's a kinoi? And the Ran brings down from Ben Yehuda ben Berav Chistai Goin that the reason why the Mishnah says kinuyim is to tell us an extra chiddush that even a kinuy works. Not only does a real language work, even a kinuy works. However, that's just an extra chiddush of the Mishnah. But the side why a kinuy works is not a, like the man is saying, it's not a drush at all. Rather, it's nichlal in the same lashon. So according to that, then it's very mustavra what we're saying from the Tva, that just like a kinuy only works in this location, so too a real lashon will also only work in this in this location. However, the Yerushalmi, the Rav Shmuel Zavsky brings down the Yerushalmi that says a specific drasha that said that we learn ish ki yidar nidar neder. It says that the lash double lashon yidar neder. The Yerushalmi asks, matam ablemer neder. Why does the Torah have to speak out neder? Let the Torah just say ish ki yidar. So the Yerushalmi says that that's a makar that we darshan that kinuye nedarim ki nedarim. And the Yishami really goes on to say this same drasha by Hishava Shvua, to tell you that kinuye shvuyas are like shvuas, and kol cheirim asher yachrim, the extra asher yachrim, tells that kinuye chiramis ki chiramis, and the neder lahazir l'shem, neder lahazir, the double lashon, tells you that kinuye naziris ki naziris. Al kopanim, it's before the Yishami that we have a special drasha to say that to tell us that a kinuy works. And so Shmuel Ruzovsky says that it's Mustaver, that the Rambam learned like the Yerushalmi that there's a special drasha to say that a kinuy works. I just wanted to point out that this actually is the side we find often the Rambam, we'll often find the Rambam passing like the Yerushalmi, and therefore, not over Bavli, but he certainly is Nimshach after Yerushalmi, and therefore it's likely the Rambam also was Gairis in the Bavli, that kinuyin nedarim kinedarim, that there's a drush for it. Even if it's not garis like that in the Bavli, we don't see anywhere in the Bavli, not lahedya, not like the Yerushalmi, we don't see anywhere that it's not a drasha. So it's very likely the Rambam taka went to Yerushalmi, and he learns that there's a special drasha to say called kinuye, that there's a special drasha to say that a kinuy works. Now, I just want to point out to bolster what Rav Shmuel Zavsky is saying is that there's a Shita Mekubetzes that says that Ritva learns in the Yerushalmi that it's only in Smachta Balma. The Drush is only in Smachta Balma. That really fits in very beautifully with what Rav Shmuel Zavsky is saying, is that Ritva, according to Ritva, there is no special limud to say that Kinuy Naziris is Kinuy Nadarim is Kinadarim. Now, there's a very interesting point that Moel Rozovsky points out. He says that they say from the Brisker Rav that if, let's say, a person will say Kriya Shema in a kinoy, that won't work. So Moel Rozovsky says that that's very good according to Rambam, because according to Rambam, there's a difference between a kinoy and a lashon. Then that since the kinoy is only a special Gzeres HaKasuf of Ishki Yidr Neder, we learn the special Gzeres HaKasuf by Nedarim and Naziris and Shvuas and Chromim, but there's no special Gzeres HaKasuf in Hilchas Kriya Shema that it works. So that's very mistaver that the Brisker Rav, the Brisker Rav's Vart, that a kinoy doesn't work, but for Hilchas Kriya Shema, that's very mistaver according to this Shitas Rambam. That is how Rav Shmuel Rozovsky explains the Sugya. Now, I just want to make a cheshbon, really, according to this, we could really answer the Bir Halacha from the Kasha of Rav Hutner, and that it comes out, what will be by Kedushin? Let's say a person will use a kinoy for Kedushin. Will that work or not? So, what should come out, according to the cheshbon of Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, is that Mamanushach, if we hold that a kinoy is a special Gzeres HaKasuf by Nedarim, then no kinoy should work for Kedushin. Even if they use this kinoy over here, since it's a kinoy and kinoy is not a proper lashon, it only it's a special Gzeres HaKasuf by Nedarim, so then kinoy for Kedushin should never work. Whereas if we say, like the Ritva, that a kinoy is nichlal in lashon, then then the kinoy has to have the same din as a lashon, and from the fact that we see a kinoy doesn't work in this place, only a place where people use the kinoy, that would be a proof that that any lashon doesn't work if the lashon is not spoken. So Mamanushach L'Chavetz Chaim's raya, according to the Cheshbon of Rishon Zavsky, would be a good raya, because if we see that Chavufasi it works, so one of two things. According to Rambam, we're going to have to say that it's not a kinoy, that it's a real lashon, in which case we see that even a real lashon doesn't work doesn't work if people don't speak it like that. Because we won't be, according to the Shitas Rambam, the way we're learning up, then it can't be that a Charufasi is a kinoy, because a kinoy would not work for Kedushin. Whereas according to the, if we say that Charufasi is a kinoy and it's still working, then we're going to have to say, like the Ritva, that a kinoy works mitam lashon, and for the fact that we see that you need to say that a Charufasi, that it has to be that's the way to people refer to as a Rusasi, that would be a proof that all lashon can only work in a place where people use that lashon. That's what we could say to answer the Bialacha on Rufutner's Kasha.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.